It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Surprise, everyone! William wasn't going in for heart surgery. He was going in for cosmetic surgery so I could look like my wife. Ta-da! Just kidding. That's my wife. For those of you who don't keep track on blog and things like that, William surgery went wonderful. He is now.
But he doesn't
home.
Want to talk to y'all ever again.
Yes, weirdly, it's made him very angry with the podcast. No, he is home. I think if I had been whiny enough, I probably could have guilted him into doing it. But he's like, no, this is probably good. And Trish said she would. So, but he is at home recovering. Surgery went great. The hospital kicked him out. So either he's doing well or his insurance is just that bad. Either way, it's good. He will probably have a lot to say next week because he's been telling me how his time in the hospital was weird, which having done that myself, I would agree. Hospitals are weird. So the producer has kindly agreed to step in this week and help me out to do this podcast. So, hello everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world that has decided to adopt a scorched earth military policy in the chicken wars for whichever side pays us the best.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know that chickens have a lot of pocket change.
I had the chicken sandwich wars that all the fast food places are doing.
Oh.
It's a thing.
I thought the chickens were at war.
No. The chicken sandwich war has been going on for ever since Popeyes started doing the chicken sandwich. It's ridiculous. Anyway, I'm Tony.
I'm not William.
She's Trish. She probably doesn't know what episode number this is.
I have no freaking clue.
shit, I didn't plan for this. I think it's 549. It's either 549 or 550. I'm gonna go look. It is 549.
All right. I was gonna guess, but I was gonna guess wrong.
No, as soon as I said hello, everyone, and you said hello, I'm like, oh shit, she doesn't even listen to the podcast. She doesn't know how any of this works.
What was I supposed to say instead of
nothing?
Hello?
Nothing. That's the whole bit. I have a whole thing I say that you heard. Sorry. That is generally uninterrupted. No, I like the enthusiasm. I just remembered. I'm like, oh yeah, we call her the producer. She knows nothing about this show.
No.
Not a fan. Not a fan.
No, that's why I'm the producer.
If I listen
to the show, I would have notes and I would make you change everything. So.
She refers to it as that 1 hour a week where I get some peace.
Yeah. So I support the podcast by just walking away.
Yes, yes. This is my model trains in the basement. For those of you just joining us, that's not William, that's my wife. We are into a new era of things here, so I'll try and explain. We have a magical hat. We call it the magical talking hat. Hat doesn't talk. It is a magical hat of talking, in that it facilitates conversation via its email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with people writing into that email address and shit that we will then say on the air. Excuse me. And sometimes burp. And we just talk about it. That's it. It's no thinner a premise than it ever was. We just aren't spicing it up like we used to in our explanation. It's the same show, basically. But now you can do more nuanced emails. They don't have to fit on little note cards that manifest physically within the hat. So sorry, old habits. So how's your week been, Trace?
Okay, you're kind of breaking up for me, so hopefully that's not a thing that's happening for all of the Hatters.
Probably not, because it's recording on my side, so any crap you get, as long as I don't get it, it's fine.
I really should have thought about this before logging in, but yeah. No one that works for me has quit this week, so I'm going to take that as a good thing. And we're going to go to Chillicothe this weekend. Not sure. I would say that's a good thing, but we're going to get to see our niece in her latest play and our nephew in his first choir concert. So
yes. Very exciting. Very exciting.
We are winning the aunt and uncle game.
Also, you will notice Trish's office looks weirdly like a bedroom. It is. It's our bedroom. She's working from home today because tonight is our nearest high school's homecoming parade, and it goes a block by our house. A, we like to see it. B, it would be a shitty time for me to try and pick her up and drive her home during it.
We've done it before. It's not good. No, it's not good at all.
So, so she worked from home today.
Yeah.
Normally she does not.
Do you know what we watched?
Oh, sorry. This week? And you all don't know. This is like a mid-Wednesday afternoon when we're doing this. So that's why it comes up, I should say. You'll be listening to it Thursday. It will be
different. Oh, do you know what we watched this week? Like
that. What did we watch this week? Oh, sorry. I thought that was a setup.
Well, we watched Only Murders in the Building.
Oh, yeah, we did.
And we're not convinced it's any good, but we're still watching it.
Yeah, I mean, it really just feels like ego-driven stuff. It's really sloppy. And it's got a lot of, I don't know. It just feels like Martin Short, Steve Martin, and Selena Gomez are all really huge superstars. And they were like, we're going to make this thing and it's going to be exactly the way we like it. And don't we seem clever and interesting? And
it's not very funny. Surprisingly.
No, no. And it thinks it is. It definitely thinks it is.
And I also don't buy Selena Gomez. Like, I don't get why she hangs out with them at all.
I mean, there is a lot of mystery tied to that, but yeah, based on things we have been learning, I'm also really questioning that, because it doesn't, based on what we know so far, it doesn't make sense that she would do that. For those of you not familiar, it's a thing on Hulu, and it's somebody dies in a New York apartment building and three people who just recently discovered that they all love the same true crime podcast decide they want to investigate it and essentially make their own true crime podcast about it. But everybody's got secrets and it's only like six episodes and they're like a half hour. And I do want to see.
Really?
We
have wasted a lot of time then in these first two episodes.
In theory, there are only six. The way they word it, I'm like, is the season maybe not done? But I think it is. I think there's only six episodes. But also, remember, we start on a thing and then we do 2 months ago. So it's entirely possible we're going to resolve Dick and just end on a cliffhanger for next season. I think it has gotten a second season, but I don't know that I'll bother to watch it.
Okay.
Yeah. So okay. We'll see. So, yeah. Do not at this point recommend.
We did that. I dropped out of What If because I couldn't take it anymore.
Yes, I haven't seen the one today, but Trish is officially out of What If.
We finished Brand New Cherry Flavor. I think I liked it better than you did.
I think I liked it.
Yeah.
I was expecting... I mean, it was entertaining and it was very well done.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's going to be very forgettable to me.
I could see that.
I wanted it to have more of an impact on me. But I definitely don't regret seeing it, and I had a good time watching it. And it's, I was telling the gaming group about it last night, the kitten puking and stuff. Like, it's fun. It's a good, simple horror bit, and those are harder to come by than you might think these days. Everybody wants to make it into a big saga, or wants to make it, I don't know. I mean, this is fucked up. This is definitely fucked up, but it didn't hit levels that are too far for me. And we all who listen to this show know a lot of my levels, and that is just too fucked up. This didn't hit that. It's very gory, very violent, very bloody, but it didn't squick me out. And that's usually, I can't get that together. Either it's really kind of tame, or I'm like, ah, no, too much. This was solid.
Yeah. Which, oddly enough, now I go back to Murders in the Building. Like, it has a bit more gore than I was expecting, and it's just completely out of place to me. Like, when I'm like, you know, again, Steve Martin, Martin Short, that's not really what I was expecting or signed up for. And I'm not sure why we spent time on it, but
last night, one of the gaming group found out I've never seen The Three Amigos.
Yeah.
And was incensed.
Wow.
Not because it's good, in their opinion. They were like, in order to gauge the spectrum, you need the high end and the low end. And so you need to see this. And I said, I will admit, it is a seminal film in many ways. And I should, for the sake of, you know, cinema studies, probably see it. But you're going to come at me for not seeing enough bad movies. I was like, I fucking made you watch The Room. Are you shitting me? I have watched Miami Connection on purpose like 9 times. I've like, nobody can come at me for not watching terrible movies. Come on.
Next time we're in Disney World, I can take you to see like the cartoon version with Donald Duck and the little parrot.
Oh, yeah.
In case you hadn't gotten enough casual racism at Epcot already.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, also, I got to tell you something. It's a secret, though.
You know we're recording, right?
I know. You calling it out is not helping the bit.
I thought we were getting all meta here.
I haven't seen it either.
Oh!
My parents were not big Steve Martin fans.
Are you noticing the acrobatics happening behind you?
Yeah. Orange guy? Well, I mean, that's, he's pretty... jumping on and off my butt. So, oh, is yeah.
We can't see that. We can just sort of see the arc there. Now he's bathing. Yeah, that's that guy. Yeah.
He's so happy I stayed home from work today.
They tried to sell it to me as on it's Chevy Chase's best film. And I'm like, I mean, okay.
What's he up to these days? I haven't seen him do anything.
The last thing that happened, I think, is he left Community, the TV show, and no one has heard from him since.
Right.
He's old. Like, I think he's basically retired. Yeah. And in fact,
and
I think
Steve
he was
Martin
basically retired.
Isn't.
The Steve Martin thing throws me, but he also created this show.
Yeah.
Like, but it is strange because supposedly Steve Martin's basically done with comedy and is way more into banjo and art, like not making art, but like art appreciation.
He's a really good banjo player.
Yeah.
So Hatters, you also get the benefit this week of somebody who actually looks shit up on the internet. Surprisingly, Chevy Chase is 77. Steve Martin's 76.
What part about that surprising?
That Steve Martin's younger than Chevy Chase?
I mean, yeah, but by a year.
Yeah.
We always get fooled by Steve Martin because of premature white hair.
Yeah.
I start the same thing with my sister. Y'all think she's a super old crone. I'm like, she's only 13. That's not true. She's much older. Oh, I had a life-changing circumstance this week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Baby. We're recording. I'm just trying to help you out here.
Sorry, we don't play this game a lot when William and I do it. If it's something we both know, we're like, oh yeah, you did. Tell them.
Okay.
I discovered, at least for one game, I can play a first-person video game without getting sick. And also...
This is not the life-changing news I was expecting you to reveal.
That's plenty. What was the one you were expecting? Therapy? I already have talked about therapy.
Not today, you haven't.
No, but that's not a new thing. That's okay. Therapy continues. It's fine, but it's not a new thing.
They haven't cured him yet of whatever it is that's wrong with him.
We've cured a couple of the things, but not some of the big ones. We've got a list. No, I now can play first-person shooters, apparently. And apparently I really like them. And this is amazing because it opens up a whole lot of games that were big deals that I couldn't play that maybe now I can. All the BioShock games, the Outer Worlds game, the Dishonored game, lots and lots of really cool ones.
And what we were really missing in life was you being able to play more video games.
But more than this, though, being able to do that and enjoying a first-person shooter, specifically, I'm playing Borderlands 2, makes me feel very weird because I didn't realize how much of my identity is tied up into being a person who doesn't play first-person shooters. Like, I think I have a lot of emotional baggage of what being a first-person shooter kind of person is, and I was very much not that. And now I'm like, am I that? Am I going to start playing fucking Call of Duty? I don't know. I saw there's a new Call of Duty coming up, and I saw the commercial, and for once I was like, oh, this could be fun.
And it's not Bethesda or whoever else? Who does Call of Duty?
I don't remember. It's Activision, I think. So it's not. You mean is it not Blizzard? Yeah, it's not Blizzard.
Blizzard.
We're
okay with Bethesda.
I mean,
only because we haven't looked into it.
Kind of. Well, Bethesda did have its issues in game part. The ones that are an issue right now is Blizzard's in a hot fucking mess. Blizzard has huge problems, and they are dealing with them little to none and poorly where they are. And I currently cannot in good conscience buy from them, which sucks because the remaster of Diablo 2 comes out in like 2 days.
Yeah.
And I want that fucking game, but I just don't feel comfortable doing it.
YouTube tried to show me a preview last night.
But yeah, not I can't do it. I still have some issues with Ubisoft, which is a problem because I haven't bought that last Assassin's Creed, but I'm in this place where I'm like, I don't play video games as much. Maybe I don't have to play some of these. And also, the ones I tend to have more fun with are these little indie titles that are out there from companies that are only, you know, made up of 6 people. So they haven't had enough time to create a culture of hostility and things like that. So I don't know. I'm playing it by ear. All I know is I'm definitely not getting anything from Blizzard anytime soon. And I mean, we'll see about Ubisoft and things like that. I'm not having the urge to play another Assassin's Creed right now. So we'll find out. I'm playing a lot of
sad because I really want to see Valhalla.
You can play it. I'm really enjoying Borderlands 2, and I'm still kind of enjoying Pyre, which is a very weird little indie game. It's odd. I think I might just about be done with Genshin Impact.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I play it once or twice a week, and it feels like a chore when I'm doing it, and that's a sign. When the game feels like a chore, I should stop playing.
When's the next update?
Oh, I think they've had one fairly recently, but I mean,
nothing huge.
The huge one was that whole new continent thing.
Right.
And I got into that. Yeah.
That was like August though or something.
Yeah. But I mean, like the previous time they'd done one that big was like a year prior.
Okay.
That was literally 2.0.
I gotcha.
I was suddenly like, wait, I know how to phrase this in a way that's going to register for you. It was 2.0. Yeah, I don't know. The three of the six listeners we still have would be bored by video game talk. So let's go on to what the hat has sent us.
Well, what else did we finish? I thought we finished something else.
We're not quite done with Kim. Oh, we finished Hacks. We finished Hacks. Hacks is good. I liked Hacks. I didn't love Hacks. As it went on, I liked it even more. I think Hacks is good.
Yep. I miss it a little bit.
I can see that.
And you said Jean Smart won the Emmy, so that's good.
Jean Smart did win the Emmy. Her fourth Emmy ever. And her first in, I believe, 13 years, somebody said. I heard. All right.
Part of why Addie keeps going back and forth is because the window right here is open. So he's checking out the neighborhood.
Yeah. All right. We have an email from Jazz.
Okay.
It's not going to be fun to read because it's one giant paragraph. Jazz, the enter key is your friend. You can do it.
Is it going to be fun to answer?
Oh, quite possibly. It'll definitely be interesting. Jazz doesn't send us lame questions. and it apparently involves taiko drumming, so you'll be all set.
Oh, yay.
Trish loves taiko drumming.
I do love taiko drumming.
This is a question based on a couple of fairly recent experiences. One came from participation in a worldwide taiko conference to discuss race after, was there a taiko conference to discuss race? Or was there a taiko conference and then you had like a panel to discuss race? I don't know, whatever.
You're not asking the questions, Jazz is.
Sorry. Worldwide taiko conference to discuss race after George Floyd's murder. I signed up for one panel in which people who had white affiliation were going to talk about how they could best be allies. I got turned down by the organizers because they said I didn't really have white affiliation. My response was that for all intents and purposes, I do, as people treat me that way. But it was too late by that time anyway, as the panel had filled up. The other experience is that I was reading one of my cousin's posts.
I said we're not the question askers, but so it sounds like this was an entire conference about
it. Does it race? Does, it does. Yes.
And taiko. Yes. So I thought originally that Jazz was saying she wanted to go to the session. It sounds like she wanted to be on the panel. Yes. Is that how you understand
it? Yeah, she said she was like, I'm a white person. Let me do it. And they're like, you're not white.
Okay.
Which, to be fair, this has come up on the podcast before. I've never been entirely sure what Jazz's ethnic affiliation is, and I would have guessed circus. It was partially Asian. That's the thing. She comes out of the circus and like old Dickens novels. So I mean, I guess that's, I don't know. It's right. Very weird. I assume she was birthed from some sort of musical theater. The other experience is that I was reading one of my cousin's postings on Facebook about their experience of being non-binary. And I thought lots of my experiences are similar to theirs. For instance, when I was really little, I thought there were two things one did to look fancy as an adult: shave your face and put on mascara. My dad very kindly used to take his razor blade out of his razor so that I could practice. So this got me thinking, am I non-binary? And my reaction is similar to the reaction I have when asked about my race. I could say that I belong to various categories, but I never strongly identify with a particular category, even a category like non-binary, which is kind of a rejection of other categories. So the question is, do you think there's an identity of non-identification? Or is that primarily a result of privilege or something else.
Something else, definitely something else.
All right, next question. This obviously speaks very, very strongly to me. I'll say up front, I identify as white because my ancestry is white. So that's not particularly ambiguous for me, but my sexuality and my gender orientation are rather ambiguous in a lot of ways. And this is a balancing act for me. I believe that the privilege I experience limits how much I am allowed to claim status within queer groups. But also I don't want to dismiss that, and I want to normalize that we're fucking everywhere. And there's never a solid answer for that.
Yeah. And I think it's contextual, right? Because we talked about before, you know, I am attracted to some women and to some men, which, you know, do we even have bisexual anymore, or do we just call that
pansexual is what we often call it, although I have discovered there are people who are like, I like men, I like women, I don't like anything in between. I have discovered that's a thing.
Okay.
I was shocked. I actually jokingly brought it up to some people and they were like, no, those people exist. And I've talked to some
there
of them
is now. A difference, I guess.
They're like, I like my men manly and my women womanly, and we don't mix them.
Right. And so, like, most people looking at me would say I'm a woman, and most people looking at you would say you're a man. Mm-hmm. And we married each other, and we're not doing the poly thing. So,
or if we are, we're doing it very poorly.
So, like, for most everyday purposes, my sexuality is irrelevant to any given situation. And yeah, like you're saying, like there's times where it feels like you're trying to co-opt something special, or, you know, whatever. And it's like, it's not my fight most days, because I don't have to make it my fight.
Well, and that's, but that's then the thing. There's, are we also chickening out, or is it just that, you know, we're living in the privilege and we need to acknowledge that we're living in the privilege?
Right. Well, but then there's also the days where it's just fun to throw out, well, yeah, you assume these things, but it's not really true. Bum, bum, bum. You know, like, we walk among you and you don't even know it.
And so, not even just fun. I think it's helpful. I think that's a good thing to let people know.
Yeah.
Again, I don't have a good synonym for normalize. I think it's really good to normalize it.
Right. And I think I got off topic of what Jazz was originally asking. Because when I first started hanging out, like, so we had this shorthand, right? Bi poly pagan, because that's what everybody was. Yep. And when I first started hanging out with them, it was kind of a thing between Amber and I, because I didn't like, you know, for some reason she kept going to Wiccan, and she's like, so are you Wiccan now? And I'm like, no, because I didn't have a particular tradition and, you know, whatever. But, or she'd be like, are you bi now? I'm like, no, I am who I am. Like, I don't know. But I think that's also a position of privilege, to be like, I don't want to be labeled.
Yeah, yeah. The labels, there's two sides to the label coin. Are you in a position where people are going to label you without any consent? Are they going to look at you and say, that's a white person? That's a lady. That's a dude. That's a tree stump. Things like this. And then, and that is an issue if you are opposed to, well, first of all, if that happens, there are some people who live life such that that doesn't happen as much. They seem ambiguous, or they associate with people who don't do that. But if that happens, is that a problem for you? In which case, you need to work on identifying the label you want so that you can put that out there and tell people, I am not a true stump. I am a softball. I don't know. I am a bug spray. So there's that consideration.
I'm a former tree. That might work better.
Yeah, exactly. I am branchially challenged. and then the other side of that is if it matters to you that people know, if not the specifics, know a category to put you in.
Yeah.
In that case, you need a label so that you can properly express yourself. In Jazz's situation, it seems like she doesn't really care if people know what her racial or sexual or gender identity is, in which case that latter thing isn't an issue. But if you are like, well, like I have sometimes where I'm like, I want people to know that this is the thing, that I have a fluid gender and that I have a fluid sexual orientation, because I think it is important to know that your neighbors and your friends and your loved ones can be like that. And in some cases, it's an intimacy thing. I want you to know me. I want to open up myself to you. And this is part of who I am. And in that case, I try and come up with labels. But one could also say, if it is that intimate, if it is a me talking to someone about it, I don't need labels. I can use descriptors. I can describe the long version of it. If you want the category, this ties into, if you want the category so you can belong to a community that fits into that category, then that's a thing. I never have that, so I'm fine with that.
And I think identity is complicated sometimes. I remember, I'm gonna try and tell this story without outing anyone, but someone was once told me a story that their spouse was part Chinese, and so they were white American, you know, don't really know where we come from, vanilla, whatever. And so they got married, they had children together, and they had raised their children with some knowledge of, you know, like Chinese holidays, Chinese food, Chinese traditions, etc. And when the girls were in high school, thanks to DNA testing, we found out that dad was not actually part Chinese, and that it was just a familial story that had been told and was not actually true in any way, shape, or form. And this was related to me as that, like, the family had to go through kind of this grieving process of losing their, you know, their Chinese identity. And I'm like, but why? Like, I don't know. Like, it seems like the facts of that matter are not necessarily, like, I mean, I would agree that, you know, like, probably when the kids are ready to go to college, they shouldn't be applying for any Chinese American scholarship money or anything like that. But if it's just, you know, like, we like to celebrate Chinese New Year in our home, I don't see what the harm is in that.
Well, and the flip side for me is heritage is a thing. And my grandmother taught me these recipes and these traditions and these festivals because of where she comes from. They are my heritage. Is different than we thought we were part this thing, so we studied up on it and did a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not saying that these people don't consider it the heritage. I mean that I'm like, it's not your heritage. You were fans and you thought you had an excuse as to why it was sort of okay to be fans. but you were just fans, and you can still be fans. I mean, and then we get into cultural appropriation. So that's why I like that. I've always been super white. There is actually a through line in my family that we actually have an indigenous ancestor.
Oh, everybody has that.
Yeah, no, everybody's got that story, but we have some evidence that others don't. My grandfather and his only son had very aquiline noses.
Ooh.
Exactly. No, they definitely had a profile that, like, at certain time periods, they easily would have been cast. In Dances with Wolves, they could have been an extra in the native scenes. And so that was always held up. And nobody's verified it and whatever, but I've never tied to that too much. Okay, short answer. I do not believe there are useful terms for not affiliated in any of the categories you have described.
You don't think non-binary is a...
I think non-binary is doable. I think, but it's, I mean, gender fluid also could be appropriate there. The racial one is tricky. You could go with mutt.
Prefer not to respond.
Yeah. And the sexual orientation, you know, that's between you. But I do think there is a burden that she acknowledges that if you get to go through life being treated as a straight white person and you get the privilege attached to that, there's a responsibility to be cognizant of that and to not, you know, try on another ethnicity because you have a loophole or something. I don't.
Yeah.
But yeah, you could call yourself Jennifer. I'm very fond of the whatever the hell I want. I like that one. And who does it apply? Like, at you, this point in your life, Jazz, why does it matter? The people who know you, who would want to know, who would need to know, you can talk to them about it. And everybody else, fuck them. But in the strict answer to the closest thing you were asking to a question, I don't, other than potentially non-binary, gender fluid, gender queer, I don't know that the other things have a sort of non-affiliated thing. I say lean into.
I think it's weird that you are equating the two, because to me, gender fluid just means I'm not picking, whereas non-binary means I reject your entire paradigm. Like, they feel very different to me.
Interesting. I would not have made that association, but you bring it up and I'm like, I can see that. I don't know. Well, I guess you got some troubles here, Jess, because we don't know. Work that shit out.
I think Jazz has some troubles that she's riding to the hat, hoping for a definitive answer to any question. Like, even if it was, what are you having for dinner tonight? We probably still couldn't answer it.
I don't think you've experienced. So I got obsessed for a little while with the McElroy brothers, and they have their little intro thing about,
yes,
no, you have that. I'm saying the particular part I'm going to describe, I'm not sure you were there for. And they have their opening, you know, about they're not experts and their advice should never be taken. They also have a thing in their live shows when they have an audience question. Once they're done with it, the ending is always, does that help? Every time. And I feel like that's it. I'm like, oh, I hope that. I am fascinated by this idea of, do non-binary and gender fluid mean different things? Get in the blog, talk to us, people, themagicaltalkinghat.com. And tell us what Jazz is. We need
all
to know.
All six of you.
Everybody go and label Jazz in as specific and categorical ways as you can. I think that's going to help her out. All right. I think we got time for another one. Look at this. Multiple emails and things. This is why you got to write in, people. themagicaltalkinghead at gmail.com because we're going to run out faster otherwise.
I thought you were going to say this is why we need to get rid of William because, excuse me, because we get through more questions.
I wasn't saying that, but all right. This is,
I don't want this to be my full-time job.
This is a short one. Again, this one might have technically come in before anybody knew about the longer things. This is from Dave of Id. Okay. It's actually just signed David, so that's weird, but it's from him. He might have been high or drunk, or I don't know. I'm reading this word for word here. What would the magical talking hat as a stretch goal for the Avatar:Legends TTRPG Kickstarter B? Good night, everybody.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to try and help break this down because I'm looking at it. It appears there is a Kickstarter for tabletop RPG for Avatar:Legends. I don't know if this is Avatar The Last Airbender or if this is Avatar The Blue Kitty People. I have not heard of this Kickstarter.
Let's go with Airbender. I feel like that's more likely and also going to be easier to work with.
What would the magical talking hat want as a stretch goal, I guess? I mean, you're a lookup lady. Look up this Kickstarter. Tell us what's going on here.
All right.
Otherwise, I don't know what we're going to say. If this was me and William, we would just start talking about Tony Danza as an English teacher.
Oh, I thought you would talk about David Id and what recreational substances he consumes in his spare time.
I don't know. I mean, there's clearly an assumption that we were going to have seen this. I do occasionally find Kickstarters for TTRPGs, but I don't do it on the reg. I don't go looking for them.
Okay, well, it is definitely related to Last Airbender / Legend of Korra.
I don't know. I mean, Trish and I, in the fucking theater, saw the live action movie / Blasphemy / Torture and hated it thoroughly.
No.
Yes.
In my memory, I liked it.
Really?
Yeah.
The live action one.
I thought it was fine. I did not hate it with the vehemence that you did and everyone. And
the rest of the world. Yeah. It's on many, many lists of the worst movie of all time. All right. I did not know this. We might be getting divorced before next week.
Me The Room, motherfucker.
I find The Room more entertaining. Wow. Not going to say better quality. I find it more entertaining. But regardless of how some of us hated it and some of us had apparently a wrong opinion about it, it prompted both of us to say we probably should watch the original show. And so we did. And I liked the original show. I thought it was good. It hasn't altered my life a whole bunch. It was fun. We didn't watch Legend of Korra. I've thought about it on occasion, but I don't know. The setting doesn't grab me, if I'm honest. I think it's the political aspects. The idea of bending the elements is cool, but the idea that we've got one country and all of our people who can bend this thing, and we've got this other country and all of our people bend, like, it doesn't resonate in my head as a thing that, like, why is it like that? But also, everybody feels very, very samey. It feels like we have four nations, and with rare exceptions that tend to be the main characters, everybody in those nations are the same. And well,
and we also kind of have this problem, and you have it with Harry Potter too. Like, not all of the Fire Nation is evil. It just happens that, you know, they can burn shit down. So
yeah.
And I always, you know, oh, Slytherin is cunning. It doesn't mean they're bad. And I'm like, and yet history kind of bears out the alternate hypothesis. Yeah.
And that's the thing, is when you start, and then it's like, oh, so it's just ridiculously simple. And that's right. The thing is, there's obvious political tension in the Avatar world. And if you look at it through the political lens, it's really boringly simple. It's so reductionist in its way. The things I liked about Avatar, I think, were just those characters having adventures. But even then, there was also that very young adult vibe that I'm like, eh, it's fine, but it's not my deal.
Yeah.
Everybody's a kid.
So read me the question again.
All right. What would the magical talking hat, I think there's a missing word here, as a stretch goal for the Avatar Legends TTRPG Kickstarter B.
Okay. I'm going to rewrite David's question, having looked at
unprecedented.
A lot of the stretch goals for this campaign, you know, were things like custom dice and, you know, fancy dice bag and whatever. But there also are many where they introduced new legends. So the original ones were built around Korra and other people's whose names I'm completely blanking on right now. I'm
really Aang.
Yes.
Sokka, Katara.
Actually, Sokka was an add-on. Katara, Iroh was one of them.
Oh, no.
Uncle Iroh.
Oh, I love him.
I know. Anyway.
He's my second favorite character after Appa.
Okay, so, but many of these add a new legend NPC character. So Sokka was one of them. And what it says for each of them is legends are mentors and masters with the ability to teach new techniques and expand the PC's training and ability. So my question is, if the magical talking hat was an NPC legend in this game, what techniques or abilities would they teach to the player characters?
Talking. Talking is what the hat does. The hat would impart, well, okay, two things. One is the ability to spur discussion, to cause people to come together and talk about things, not necessarily in a productive way, but just to talk. The second thing would be enslaving individuals to your will, because that's what the hat does. That's the only two things the hat does.
It enslaves
others to its will in order to facilitate conversation.
I think it would also offer you a seemingly infinite font of questions, many of which have no answers or make no sense.
So it would be like the most frustrating version of the trope where you go climb up the mountain to talk to the ancient master and just ask questions back. And you're like, I don't know. I can see that.
You'd be like, before we start this battle, there's just a couple things I need to know. And like hours later, they'd be like, you know what? Whatever. I'm just leaving.
Be like my therapist. That was the thing. She's like, what are you hoping to get from me? I'm like, well, this whole session, you've been asking me questions that have made me very uncomfortable for reasons I am not sure about. I think that is a good sign. This is all, I mean, I feel like I'm shitting on this question, and I only like to do that on purpose. When I play a game based on a property, when it's a tabletop RPG, in a video game, different thing. Yeah. When it's a tabletop RPG, I also don't like having people from the thing involved. I don't want to meet Luke Skywalker when I'm playing a Star Wars game.
You
just want to
play in the world. You don't want
to. Yeah, because that's the only reason to do it for me. I don't know. In a video game, you got the voice actor. You make it look like them. There can be a thrill in that. Outside of that, it's either somebody who's doing, it's not going to be a great impression of Luke Skywalker, or it's fucking me doing an impression of Luke Skywalker, and I don't care. Original characters have always been my jam with role-playing games, even if they are homages and in some case kind of copies of other, because sometimes you do that. You're like, you know what? I'm going to play Malcolm Reynolds in this. But you don't play Malcolm Reynolds. You play somebody like Malcolm Reynolds, because then you have the ability to grow and do different things. And you don't have to be like, I would never do that because Malcolm Reynolds would never do that.
Yeah, I was going to say that's the other place where it gets weird is like, would that character, like we've seen that even within Star Wars canon, like characters do things that I'm like, character wouldn't do that.
And I know people who very strongly oppose this school of thought in the world of role playing. They're like, if you want to do Malcolm Reynolds, just play Malcolm Reynolds, call him Malcolm Reynolds. Yeah. And I'm like, no, if you want to play Malcolm Reynolds, find out why you want to play Malcolm Reynolds and then make a character that capitalizes on that thing.
So, but I brought up the Firefly RPG. It was original characters, wasn't it? And when you guys did Dresden, that was original characters.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. They have stats for the other ones. I never use them. I never have them show up.
That's the other thing. Like a lot of those characters, if you use them as characters, they'd be way overpowered.
It is more common. Well, like this one said, these are mentors. These are ones that show up to do things. It is rare you actually can play the characters from a thing, because if it's become a thing enough that it's had its own role-playing game, it's already had a large story arc where they've fucking saved the world or ascended to godhood or whatever. So it'd be like, do we do it? And if you're like, well, let's play them at the beginning when they were little babies, well, then it's going to feel weird that you're not just going through the plot of the show or,
right,
the book or whatever.
Frequently. Like, oh yeah, it's time for me / Buffy to die now, because that's a thing.
It seems like a starfuckery thing to me, which I'm usually very down for in the real world. I love the idea. Like, even if I don't like them, the idea of like interacting with a famous person is always a thing. And I hate that about myself. But like, if somebody famous online responds to one of my tweets, even if it's in the most uninteresting way, I'm like, oh my God, the real so-and-so actually responded. The fact that Guy Branum follows me on Twitter, I love to this day. I am confident he has never read a tweet of mine besides the first one he read that caused him to follow me, but it still excites me. But I can't make that leap into pretending to brush up against celebrities, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, the idea of meeting the guy who does the voice, the idea of meeting Mark Hamill or interacting with Mark Hamill seems awesome. The idea of playing in a game where David pretends to be Mark Hamill, the appeal's not there. I'm not saying I would be opposed to him pretending to be Mark Hamill, okay, but I'm like, it's definitely not scratching that same itch.
I've got two questions for you. Mm-hmm. I guess three questions, because I'm going to preface this one with a question. What's that thing where you can like pay celebrities to like
Cameo call your
email? Okay, so what if you could via Cameo get the actual actor playing a character to participate in your role-playing game?
1,000% in a fucking heartbeat.
All right.
Goddamn, Nathan Fillion puts on the space cowboy outfit and sends us a wave to our crew saying he's got a job for us or whatever. not only would I pay what must be easily $1,000 for that 2-minute video, every campaign I would run from then on would be a Firefly campaign, which started with Malcolm Reynolds sending you 100%. I am amazed I have not spent money on Cameo already. I was in heaven watching a Cameo video that was sent to a high school friend of mine that he put on Facebook, Alton Brown, talked to him, and he did it through the fridge cam. He fucking did it. He opened the fridge. He was there. And he talked about this guy. And that's how much of a starfucker am I. I'm like, I know, or at least knew 25 years ago, the guy Alton Brown is talking about in his video.
Because he was paid to.
Yes. And that he's never met and never will meet. Like, and he didn't even talk about things I know about him. It was like current shit, you know, like. But I was still like, oh God, I'm talking to Mason. I know who Mason is. Ah. I mean, I loved that I was behind Alan Thicke in line at a restaurant once. I didn't even particularly like Alan Thicke. Didn't talk to him. Didn't do anything. But I still, to this day, I'm like, that was so awesome. Like that I buy into. If it's the real person. If Dave of Id does a video, if he puts on the Space Cowboy app, okay, I gotta admit, I kind of am into that too, but not in the same way. But if David Vid wants to dress up as a Space Cowboy and send a video that sends my team on a mission, I'm there for it. If any of you want to do that, if any of you would like to put on a Space Cowboy outfit and record a video sending my space crew on a mission, put it on the blog, themagictalkingat.com, and we'll all love it, and we'll all do games from there. And that will be the stretch. I want the Avatar Legends TDRGB, Ruth Bader Ginsburg stretch goal to be the creators will dress as a space cowboy and send my space crew on a mission and pretend to be Mark Hamill. And that's what I want. That's what the hat wants.
That's what the world wants.
That's yes. What the world needs now is more amateur video space cowboys.
Tony loves cosplay, you guys.
I do. I love watching cosplay. That I did I tell you with Borderlands 2? So I'm playing Gage, and you looked up Gage. You looked up her whole backstory and all that. I had seen so much cosplay as her over the years, and now I'm like,
oh, that now you recognize?
Yeah. And the same thing with Moxie, who runs the bar in Sanctuary. I've seen her now, and I talked to her minimally. She doesn't have any jobs for me yet or anything. But, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I've seen a lot of cosplay of that.
Yeah.
Gage is very popular because Gage is the best way to go in that game. Gage is awesome.
I read that she is both the easiest and most difficult character to play.
Did they say why?
Yes, but I would have to look it up again. It was something about in-game mechanics.
All right. If you know why Gage is both the easiest and the most difficult character to play in Borderlands 2, tell us on the blog, magictalkinghat.com.
And if you don't know, upload a video of you dressed as Gage. No, never mind.
I mean, yeah, do it. Send any cosplay videos you want to the blog. Always, always. Any cosplay videos. Cosplay is me if you want. Cosplay is William. Cosplay is William cosplaying as Scrawny Claws.
Oh, I thought you were going to say cosplay as William cosplaying as you. That would be weird.
Do that as well. Don't do the opposite. I feel like that would be incredibly offensive. But you could do...
cosplay as Jazz and then explain what... yes. Labels you use.
Do a montage of cosplays as Jazz identifying with different ethnicities and see how quickly our website can get shut down. Don't do that. It would be a terrible idea. Unless you're Jazz. Jazz, if you want to do it, go nuts. Although I still think our website might get shut down depending on how you went. Anyway, also write in themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. So that we can also ignore your email and just talk about Space Cowboys. Or we can do a deep dive into your personal identity labels and why they're wrong.
And not come up with any answers.
Does that help? And next week, hopefully, it'll be William back. I'm going to try and get him to do the podcast with no shirt on so that we can see all the scars and stuff. But
what are you saying?
That's definitely not happening.
What are you saying?
You're fired. No, I
thought you loved doing the podcast with me.
I do. Not to break the illusion here, but you weren't super jazzed on doing it in the first place. So despite all of this, I feel like you will feel better if, although you did swoop in at the last minute, because like a couple days before I was like, I bet I could get a hold of Jazz and she would probably guest host. And you were like, no, I'll do it. And I was like, oh, somebody's all right.
Yeah, I was a little, sorry, Jazz. I was a little possessive there. I was like, no, when William can't do it, I do it. That's the way it goes. And for the record, I am happy to do it until William feels up to it.
And I mean, yeah, no, if he still doesn't feel up to it, I'm definitely making him come back next week. But given he's home now and he's texting and stuff, I feel like in a week he'll probably be okay to look at Zoom.
It's not a horribly strenuous kind of thing. So
just for the listeners, but that's par for the course.
I mean, that's on them. They chose this. Yeah.
All right. So send us all cosplays right into the hat.
I know. Usually I make a joke about us having TikTok, which we don't. But we talk so much about videos, I feel like that's not a good joke to make at this point.
Don't do it on TikTok. We won't.
We'll never see it.
What's happening? Yes.
We also, are too old for TikTok.
Yes. Legally, it's a thing. But
if you're under 13 or as old as we are.
Specifically. And then next week, bug spray.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.